Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1 reads this way. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, the revelation that you give to us and the understanding and wisdom that only you can bring to our hearts and minds. And Lord, the difference that that makes in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us as your people. Guide us by your Holy Spirit that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you might be highly exalted. And we'll give you the praise for that. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is The Places God Brings Us To When We Seek Him. The Places God Brings Us To When We Seek Him. So what are the places God brings us to when we seek Him? Well, it's a place of refuge in the good times and in the hard times so that we don't forget God in the hard times. It's easy to praise the Lord in the good times, but sometimes in the hard times, we might be focused more on the hard times than on our God. But God brings us to these places in our relationship with Him that we remember Him in both times, right? So, and by the way, in the good times, I might say, it's easier to forget the Lord in the good times because everything is so good, we get caught up with all the goodness of God, and it's easier to turn away at those times. So we just want to look at two thoughts this evening, and that is satisfied with fatness, praise, and joy. And then the last is help in time of need. And these are really the two places that God brings us to when we seek Him. That's the good times, right? Satisfied with fatness, praise, and joy. And then help in time of need. Those are the times of trials, testing, and difficulties in our life. And God can be found in both of those places as we seek Him. So let's consider the first here. And that is satisfied with fatness, praise, and joy. Verse 1 says this, O God, thou art my God. That's an important statement there. Everybody can say, oh God, because He is God. But is He our God? That's where the difference is made. He says, oh God, God of all the earth, thou art my God. What a blessing to be able to say that. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Have you ever been in a place where there was no water and it was hot? And maybe you were thirsty. Boy, that's a rough place to be. Amen. That'll make it so where you can't get water off your mind. Aren't you glad that our God is the place of living waters? And He does more than satisfies us physically. He satisfies us emotionally. He satisfies our every need in Him. And so that's where the Lord wants us to understand where we can find drink where there is no drink. In a dry and thirsty land, God says, you can come to me and I'll give you to drink that will bring satisfaction into your life. So He's the living water. And then God wants to satisfy us also with the power of God. Look at verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So he says, just like I've seen thee in the sanctuary. What does that mean? God gives us revelation where the Word of God is being opened up, where the Word of God is being preached. God works through His Word. And He wants to reveal great things in your life and mine. And so He says, to see your power, Lord, that's what I'm longing for. And that ought to be all of our desires. Lord, we want to see your power. As we understand your word, as you guide us, may you reveal to us your power in our lives every day as we seek you. And then He says here in verse 3, He brings us to this place of satisfaction. And that deals with the love of God. Verse 3 says here, because thy loving kindness, listen to this, is better than life. This is David, the psalmist, right? He says, I want you to know something. What he is saying, what he is writing, he's being moved by the Holy Spirit in conjunction with what he has experienced in the Lord. And he's saying, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Listen. All of the promises of God in His Word, are they true? Are they true? Let me ask you this. When we see all of God's promises fulfilled, when we stand before Him, question,
will they be even better than we imagined? Aren't they? Listen, I have no idea what heaven is going to be like other than it's going to be glorious. I don't even know how to define glorious in the realms of God. I can just tell you, if God said it, that settles it. Amen. Whether we believe it or not, that settles it. And if God says, I've got things in store for those that love me that haven't even entered into their minds, we can count on that. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be forever, and we're going to be seeing things. Besides our loved ones that have gone on before, we're going to see our Savior who redeemed us. And then not only are we going to see him, but we're going to see all of his glory. I don't know. My goodness, I don't think the natural body could handle it. Do you? I think it would kill us. We'd be so overwhelmed, I think it would kill us. And so he says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Isn't that good? David is saying, listen, because of what I've experienced on this side, let alone what's yet to come, I've experienced God's grace. Amen? It began all there with salvation. Look, David was out there taking care of his father's sheep. He had no idea what God was getting ready to do in and through him. And the Lord said, I have separated you for my honor and glory. Isn't that amazing? And then the Lord anointed him with the oil and said, you are marked to be the next king. And as David reflected back, he saw, do you think David ever thought this? You know, and I was worried about nothing. Amen. You think David ever thought about this? Here I was wondering, I thought Saul was going to get me. I thought I was never going to be king, and God had it in control the whole time. And not only that, but then he blessed them beyond that. And so likewise in our lives, as we look back, many times, I dare say, every time we worried for nothing. God had it all under control. And David was reflecting that, and he says, I'm gonna bless the Lord while I'm alive. I'm going to lift up my hands and praise him because he is good and worthy to be praised. And so we find here, the last thought here is a satisfied soul. Look at this, verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Boy, oh boy, he had himself a good steak, didn't he? Amen. He had the bone and everything, and he enjoyed it all. And then notice this, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He was happy. He was really enjoying the salvation that's in the Lord. God, by the way, do you know that God has called you and me as well and has separated us for his glory? Amen. Isn't that amazing? We could sit back like David did and say, who am I, Lord? And yet you have chosen to give me understanding, open up my heart, my mind to see your goodness. And boy, what a blessing it is. So this is satisfaction with fatness, praise and joy. And this is one of the places that we're looking at tonight that God brings us to when we seek him. We can praise him in the good times, and then we can also praise him in times of need. Look at verse 6 here, and this is the night watches. Verse 6 says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Now, at night, we're supposed to be sleeping, but sometimes we don't sleep. You know why we don't sleep? You know why we don't know sleep? Because we're dealing with things in life. And those are the night watches, and we're watching through, and maybe we're waiting for something to happen. Maybe we're needing something. Maybe there's a situation that we're waiting for the answer. And God could be found even there because he is always with us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. So the night watches really are times that we need God's help and that we are in need. Look at verse 7. Because thou hast been my help. You know what he's saying? In past tense, you've never failed me. In past tense, when I needed help, you were there. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Even though I'm in the night watches right now, you have been faithful in the past. And so because of your faithfulness in the past, I can rest on this thing. You will get me through this one too. You will never fail me nor forsake me. And so he says, I will rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because of his great faithfulness. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. That's what happens when we see God's faithfulness in our life. thy right hand upholdeth me. So where's his support come from? The right hand of God. Isn't that amazing? I'm always reminded of this answer because it really deeply impresses me. When the Lord was being forsaken by the different people that were following him, and then he comes over to his disciples and he asks them, will you also depart? Will you also leave? And what did the disciples say? To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of life. There's nowhere else to go. And may you and I find our comfort in that truth. And that the right hand of God upholds us. There's no better place to be. And there's no place that we would desire to be than in the right hand of God. And we thank the Lord for his strength. Verse 9, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. This is David saying, those who are looking to hurt me, God will judge them. By the way, as long as we, and listen, God's faithful regardless, but we can rest assured that those that are seeking our ill will are seen by the eyes of God. And by the way, we're not wanting their demise. We're wanting their salvation. We're wanting God to save them. But ultimately, if they will not turn, God says, God has promised here that they will stand before him and give an account and an answer for those things. So he says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. And that obviously means that they don't belong to the Lord. Verse 10, they shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Everyone, what that means is everyone who has their confidence and holds to the word of God shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Mark it down. Listen, you look at people today that are caught up in lies. And you know, there are some, isn't that amazing? People double down on lies. Eventually, it's all going to come out in the wash, as they used to say, but the wash is going to be the judgment of God, and they will give an account for everything that they were doing that may have been deceptive or underhanded. But may you and I not dwell in that place. May you and I dwell in the heart of God, amen, and in his heart for us. So tonight, God brings us to wonderful places when we have praise and joy, and God brings us to wonderful places even when we need his help and when we're in a time of need. Amen? So we know where to go to. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for this word, this understanding of who you are and who you want to be. And Lord, may we with a panting heart seek after you and experience your great grace in a mighty way. Bless, Lord, your church here at Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches and missionaries, that we might experience more of your grace and glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the thanks, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.